Wednesday gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to everyone. We're delighted that you've decided to join us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. To hear previous healing messages, click on the link labeled Wednesday Gathering Audio Archive. Let's begin this Wednesday gathering with the singing of hymn number 135. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is I Know No Separation. The hymns are 135, 411, and 350. I'll be reading from the King James Version of the Bible and correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. The Bible, Exodus. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of a desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up out of that land unto a good and a large, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Now, therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel is come unto me, and I have also seen the oppression wherewith the Egyptians oppress them. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. And Moses said unto God, Who am I, that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee, that I have sent thee. While thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, hath sent me unto you. And the people believed, and when they heard, that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he looked upon their affliction. Then they bowed their heads and worshipped. And afterward, Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, "Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people, and they said, "Why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us?" And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared, and the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea, but the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Isaiah, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." Luke, "Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulchre. And they entered in, and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. Then arose Peter, and ran unto the sepulchre, and stooping down, he beheld the linen clothes laid by themselves, and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near with them. But their eyes were holden, that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another, as ye walk, and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things, and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh into the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Romans, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And from Science and Health. Children of Israel, the representatives of soul, not corporeal sense, the offspring of spirit, who, having wrestled with error, sin, and sense, are governed by divine science. Some of the ideas of God beheld as man, casting out error and healing the sick. Christ's offspring. Moses, a corporeal mortal, moral courage. A type of moral law and the demonstration thereof. The proof that without the gospel, the union of justice and affection, there is something spiritually lacking, since justice demands penalties under the law. Moses advanced a nation to the worship of God in spirit instead of matter, and illustrated the grand human capacities of being bestowed by immortal mind. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and the prophets caught glorious glimpses of the Messiah, or Christ, which baptized these seers in the divine nature, the essence of love. The divine image, idea, or Christ, was, is, and ever will be inseparable from the divine principle, God. Mind is the I am, or infinity. Mind never enters the finite. Intelligence never passes into non-intelligence, or matter. Good never enters into evil. The unlimited into the limited. The eternal into the temporal. Nor the immortal into mortality. The divine ego, or individuality, is reflected in all spiritual individuality from the infinitesimal to the infinite. Jesus referred to this unity of his spiritual identity thus, "Before Abraham was, I am. I and my Father are one. My Father is greater than I." The one spirit includes all identities. Man is never God, but spiritual man made in God's likeness reflects God. In this scientific reflection, the ego and the Father are inseparable. In divine science, God and the real man are inseparable as divine principle and idea. Jesus was the highest human concept of the perfect man. He was inseparable from Christ, the Messiah, the divine idea of God outside the flesh. He claimed no intelligence, action, nor life separate from God. Despite the persecution that's brought upon him, he used his divine power to save men both bodily and spiritually. In his resurrection and ascension, Jesus showed that a mortal man is not the real essence of manhood, and that this unreal, material mortality disappears in presence of the reality. The periods of spiritual ascension are the days and seasons of mind creation, in which beauty, sublimity, purity, and holiness, yea, divine nature, appear in man and the universe, never to disappear. It is ignorance and false belief, based on a material sense of things, which hide spiritual beauty and goodness. Understanding this, Paul said, neither death, nor life, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. This is the doctrine of Christian Science. The divine love cannot be deprived of its manifestation or object. That joy cannot be turned into sorrow, for sorrow is not the master of joy. That good can never produce evil. That matter can never produce mind, nor life result in death. The perfect man, governed by God, his perfect principle, is sinless and eternal. This concludes